Right, good morning, everybody. Today is Monday, April 10th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup of Tools here on UCY.TV. Happy Monday, everyone. It is a balmy 66 degrees and kind of sweaty and sunny here in upstate New York. I believe today it's supposed to go up to almost 80. So where do we leave off on Friday? We titled the show Frequencies. Brains, killer mice, 5G holograms, and ELF emit headbands. And this pretty much wrapped up 2 or 2.5 weeks looking at frequencies, some of the mad science that they can use them for to manipulate biology. And these were all kinds of different frequencies, energy weapons, psychotronic weapons, things that we have always considered to be lunatic tinfoil hattie. I think we've looked at a lot of the science to show that it isn't particularly tinfoil hattie. It just was a little bit futuristically speaking in the future. And we even found out digging deep into some of the annals of history that it appears that this goes way, way, way back further than we ever imagined. We looked at Bell Labs way back in the 20s, starting with, I don't know, frequency modulations and all kinds of things like that to be able to create voice. Good old Alexander Graham Bell. And from there, that kind of tipped them off to all of these other things, being able to direct signals, and then being able to utilize microwaves for communication purposes and get rid of the lines, get rid of all the cables and make it wireless. Then they started messing around with the DoD and learning ways to communicate with ship to shore, things of that nature, and that really got them into bed with the federal government for World War II. Now, I'm not going to go into this anymore, probably this week. I'm hoping I get to see one of my smarty pants friends who might have some first-handed insight into some of this stuff. Oh, yeah, I'd say who might. I'd say who does has some first-handed insight, at least into high-end communications frequencies and all that type of crazy stuff. So I'm hoping. I don't know, guys. I have to tell anyone I haven't gotten back to. I don't know what is going on, but like my world is just in high gear right now, and every day there's like some other ball that gets chucked at me at high speed into my juggling game that I do here on a daily basis to keep things all moving. And not just here, I mean, in life in general, and my family and whatever. And it just, I am having the crap beaten out of me lately. So it's literally, guys, I feel like some days I literally feel like I'm just going to lose it all and all the balls are going to hit the floor. But I still got them. I got them back up this morning and they're back at full speed. But there's like three school things now going on this week, which I feel like bashing my head into a desk. And then vacation starts Thursday for 10 days. So, and the weather's warm. And you know what kids get? And then they want to go outside and ride their bikes in the road. And this is just not going to be good. So, I don't know why I told you that. The next week or two, I have to take some time off once the vacation hits. My sister's coming into town as well. It's Pops' birthday that week. It's also holiday, Easter. So, I don't know. I'm going to try and make it this week, but I might have to take next week off. All right, anyway. But the good news is my friend who knows a lot more than the average bear called me. So, we're going to try to maybe do something if things work out before the holiday. So we'll see. I need to pick some brains. And then I think I'll have even a better understanding of the possibilities of what is possible. So today, and maybe for the rest of the week, We're going to totally switch gears. We ended up the show looking at that ELF emit headbands, which was a really strange device. Released on Indiegogo. They raised, like, I don't know. Let's get back there. 414% of their reputed goal of $50,000. They raised $207,186. It's a headband that goes over your head. There's a little tiny wire that connects down the back. I'm assuming that that connects to some sort of device of some kind. Or does that just wrap around your head? Because I'm looking at a picture. Looks like that's just some sort of antenna. But what you can do is program it for your mood. So, you know, we've been talking about frequencies, and I really don't want to get into frequencies again. We'll go back there. I promise. I need to rest my brain. I need to give my stress level a break. Because it was just a lot with everything else. But we'll touch on this because I have a little angle here. We're going to look at this. I saw some crazy stuff again from another friend of mine who sent me something over the weekend. There's another thing, too. Guys, I am so far behind, and I apologize. I apologize. But, hey, if I get to take a break, I'll catch up on everything. I promise. I'll read everything. I'll watch all the documentaries. It's just impossible when you have life and when your only free window is like 2 hours at night after bed. And it's been difficultville from after school getting homework done to getting ready for bed that's supposed to be at 9:30. And now we're pushing the envelope for every single thing we do on a daily basis. Mom starts to feel like she's going to lose it. So by the time I get out here, my 2 hour little window to do any type of research that I used to do has been having some difficulty because I'm short-circuiting in the brain. I just can't calm down enough to even start absorbing. And I don't know. We got to fix that. I think that means I need a little vacation. Even if it's just not doing any of this for a while. All right. So anyway, this ELF emit headband allows you to use the interface of your cell phone. And I think that's what that little cable is. Plugs into your cell phone and you can program it for what type of modulation you want it to entrain your brain for. And that's what they're saying this is. It's brain entrainment. It's in the VLF range, the very low frequency. Or maybe even the ELF range. They're all in the same area between like 0 and 30 hertz, I think. Same frequencies your brain work on. And you can set it for 5 different levels. Sleep, anti-stress, concentration, deep learning, and meditation. Now, wait a minute. Weren't we just saying that all this frequency stuff was tinfoil hatty? And weren't we just saying, like, it's all classified, how they can control your brain and control your emotions and do all these kinds of things, and we can't talk about it, but they've been doing it for years. Well, wait a second. Then how do we have an Indiegogo with some sort of ELF brain entrainment technology that is FDA approved, no less, and has been used non-invasively for 50 years? The ads say. It's really got to make you wonder. It's got to make you wonder how that's even possible. Since this is the first that we've ever seen of this, at least that I've seen, in the commercial marketplace. Each of ELF emits 5 moon settings, emits extra low frequency electromagnetic pulses. These pulses gently coax the natural frequencies of your mind and your body to speed up or slow down and match your desired mood. The ability to transition through these frequencies determines how successful you are at managing stress, focusing, or getting a good night's sleep. I wouldn't be sleeping with one of these things on my head. Synchronize your mind and body. ELF emit. The only wearable using cutting-edge neuroscience to guide the natural frequencies and rhythms of your mind. Mind control. Like, mind control in every pot. And it's going to be on your addictive device, your cell phone. I mean, what is this? How could they even allow this? I mean, I can see how they would allow this. But how can we be so stupid? We're going to zap ourselves. Don't worry about it, mother government. I think that's what Hal was saying, is big mother, not brother. you know, we'll zap ourselves with electrical pulse stimulation on our brains. I just can't even believe anybody, and I don't care. I mean, I'm sure there's therapies that, yeah, and I could see exactly how it could work. But, you know, and I'm sure it's even probably safe. But long term, I don't know if it would be safe. Maybe onesie twosies, you know, if you're having a really bad moment, get yourself to some relaxation. But do you really want to be getting your brain used to being like pulse zapped, frequencied, and adjusted? And that's what music does to you. Music can entrain your brain. And yeah, I think music can even be used for brainwashing. There could be subliminal messages and thoughts put into your head or buttons pushed using different frequencies. You know, actually, since I was a kid, I've thought that music, there was something about music that was a dimension that we weren't understanding yet, in being able to unlock some of the mysteries, quote-unquote mysteries of the universe. And I really think the music, there's a lot more about music than, you know, we're uncovering. You know, music can be used to even sway generations of people to go into protest or whatever. We saw that. That was a lot of the 60s, the CIA, the LSD. I mean, we've read all about that. If you haven't, there's all kinds of documentaries. Make sure you look something up, because you will find it very interesting and find it incredibly insane at how feeble-minded we are at times to not realize what is being done to us covertly. But that's why I worry about this. That's why I worry about legalized marijuana, even. You know, I know everybody wants freedom. It's just a plant. But on the other hand, I almost think that there could be an agenda here to get all these people, you know, who, and I mean, yeah, there's medical benefits, but to get all kinds of people that maybe would have never have tried it. You know, once it becomes legalized, look at Colorado. It is now a tourist destination. They have bed and breakfast tours. You know, people who'd never done it before will go do it in a safe, quote unquote, safe environment. Who wouldn't want to be smoking, looking at the mountains? But on the other hand, you know, now you get these people who didn't think it was okay before, now think it's okay. And some people can deal with it. Some people can't. Some people go to extremes. And guys, here's the only thing I'm saying, is that any, and I'm not just going to say pot, anything, alcohol, barbiturates, the heroin, whatever the newest drug du jour is on the street, any of this stuff, including this pulse ELF emit, whatever happened to the high as a kite dopamine headphones, any of this stuff, any of it, works on the same areas of the brain, that little dopamine button, that dangling carrot, that pleasure-seeking chemical. And dopamine becomes addictive. So even if we know it or not, we start to get entrained. We start to get conditioned to like something. Now, talking to somebody who is trying to break an addiction right now, that is ever more apparent as I sit in Jones for my poison. I'm going to tell you guys, all right, I just fell off the bandwagon a couple times. I'm going to admit it. But here's the thing. I've done this before. The only way to quit is to not give up. If you fall off the bandwagon, great. Don't beat yourself up over it. But then the very next day, you get up and you slap a new patch on, and it's a brand new day. And you don't have to fall off if you don't want to. And I'm going to tell you what. I did. I fell off a day I went back on for maybe 3-4 more days, and I fell off a day. But I'm going to tell you, I feel like crap right now. And you want to know why I feel like crap? Because I fell off the wagon yesterday. It was weekend. It was a really stressful day. And of course, I didn't have my show and all this stuff to keep me busy because I try and get everything cut so I can actually, like, clean and do other things that need to be done on the weekend. It doesn't always work out that way. But yesterday, I actually was pretty good. I only had one show to deal with. And, but I am so congested. My sinuses, my nose, my throat, my lungs. I did not feel like this. I mean, literally after one single day, I couldn't believe how much oxygen I had. And I couldn't believe how I didn't have any tickle in my throat or anything. See? And I'll tell you that that is a good motivator because I feel good when I don't do it. But most things that addict you, you don't feel good when you don't do it. You feel bad when you don't do it. So I just worry now that we are literally, we're not indirectly playing with brain chemicals like with our electronic devices, like with the sucking us into the machine with our smartphones or drugs or gambling or any of that stuff. Those are all indirect manipulations of brain chemicals. We're not talking with the CLF emit. This is a direct manipulation. This is actually changing. And I would assume, and oh, I think I closed it. I had to close tabs last night, but I, let's see. No, it's gone. That's all right. There are chemicals that are produced in the different brainwave states, and I don't have the chart up in front of me, but we'll find it. Not today, though. But one of them, like you said, dopamine is very important. You have oxytocin, you have serotonin, all those other good ones. Those are produced, the oxytocin and serotonin, down at the lower levels of the brain frequency that are more nearer to relaxation and sleep. You have adrenaline and dopamine and all the high energy type stuff. Once you start getting up to the gamma level, around 30 hertz, that is your high alert state. Now, what is interesting is that this EMF emit does not allow you to go above 19 hertz. So 19 hertz is going to be in your concentration range. They cannot use it like the military might. If the military had been experimenting with something like this, wink, and we know they have been, that electrical deep, they call it deep something stimulation, deep, oh, I don't remember, deep, it didn't come back, deep something stimulation, DARPA's been doing it for quite a while now, and, you know, they've been poking and prodding brains, apparently for generations, so they absolutely know where and what frequencies do what, but this thing in particular will not cause any type of aggression. It only emits pulses from 2 hertz to 19 hertz and nothing beyond your natural rhythm of the mind. Though, when we're focusing hard and we're getting mad, our brain waves can spike up to 30 hertz per second. I guess hertz, yeah, per second. At 2 hertz, we're sleepy. At 19 hertz, we can concentrate. Fully FDA approved. And our brain's ability to transition through various brainwave frequencies plays a large role in how successful we are at managing stress, focusing on tasks, and getting a good night's sleep. Now, here's another thing, though. How many of us couldn't use something like this? Because I think I could. I really could use something that would help me focus when the whole world seems to be short-circuiting my brain, that I can't find a good focus to get anything done. Who wouldn't want to be able to turn down when Munchkin's pushing my buttons and I'm starting to have steam come out of my ears? Boop! Who wouldn't want to just boop, 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 boop? And go into a meditation state. You know, because I'm going to tell you, I could use one of these. But don't fall for it, people. This is a Trojan horse. I really think it is. You don't want to get, like I said, Google Glass. Google Glass in the eyeball connects to the orbital cortex. Carzo's been chomping at the bit to get his hands on some orbital cortexes. And we looked at those killer mouses on Friday again. Be able to manipulate areas of the brain utilizing lasers, and I'm trying to find some stuff about utilizing frequencies as well. And I found a stash. Dale, I was going to drop it in chat. Don't let me forget. I found a stash when I was reading a research paper on the manipulation of the mouse brain to turn them into predatory killers. There was a section for all the references that they used to write that paper, and there had to be 30, 40 at least, maybe more, additional research papers that have looked into all the different facets of brain control and this manipulation to turn creatures into killers. So, Dale, if you're interested, I was going to drop it in the chat because, I don't know, it'd be fun if somebody else was looking at them with me because it's pretty long and complicated. But here's the key feature. If they can target a certain area of the brain of a normally docile creature, i.e. a mouse, and turn them into predatory killers whose jaws chomp uncontrollably with teeth that grow endlessly for their entire little pipsqueak lives to search for something to chew on and kill. And they can do that remote controllably with some sort of beam. We should be very worried about that. Because not only, I was thinking about this as well, you know, if they're going to take everything over, they might as well, we've talked about this before too, so it's not just going to be humans, it's going to be all the creatures as well. They're going to rule biology and nature. That is the plan. That's what it means to be a god, and they're aspiring to be gods. I'm going to talk about that too. There was a story that came out talking about some of that very thing. So they need to control the flora and the fauna. Well, this pushing of the buttons to create predatory tendencies in normally docile animals could also potentially be used by the Department of Defense. And, you know, there's been a lot of discussion over the years of their super soldier program. That super soldier program was not a conspiracy, quote-unquote conspiracy theory. That's something they've been working on for a while, of course, all in the name, keeping the soldiers safe. And when they can monitor them and find out that Johnny's getting a little bit scared, they can push a few buttons, bzz, 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 and look at it, wouldn't even need a brain implant if we had one of these little ELF emits, and they could just put it right inside their helmet. And they pull out the stop that prevents them from going to 30 hertz. Oh, Johnny, get mad, Johnny, get dopamine, get adrenaline, get mean, and go run into battle. I could see how this could be very effective. But back to these little mousies and being able to use the laser also to turn them into predatory killers. They discovered in the mouse experiments that the obligata is where they can control whether or not they are docile or they are predatory. And so we have the orbital cortex and we have the obligata. I'm trying to remember too. I don't know. I feel a little brain dead fuzzy. My brain actually feels puffy this morning. I don't get that often. Like puffy brain. But it is going to be warm and everything is like bursting here. So this could be first round of pollen allergies. Who knows? But I'm trying to remember. I'm pretty sure it was the orbital cortex where you also were making decisions. But don't quote me on that. There's a part of the brain that they've also been studying recently where they can watch decisions being made real time. And they can help bump those decisions using little zippity zaps to make you change your mind or come up with a different decision. And when we start then coupling that with all this stuff that we've been learning about, apparently, how easy it is to manipulate brains using frequencies, it's really going to make you wonder. And as the technology gets better and better, you know, I think we've had a couple generations now of different experimentation that's been happening, but We're getting to the point now where anything is possible. And with supercomputing, and here's another big worry of mine. They are talking about giving the entire radio frequency spectrum, and this is a DARPA project, to an artificial intelligence. Well, the entire radio spectrum would be running things such as military radar, radio frequencies, television frequencies, cell phone frequencies, all those frequencies, including the ELF, VLF, and all the things that are even in the same frequencies as our brains. And they're going to let the AI determine how to splice and dice those frequencies. And who's to say that at some point they're not going to have some sort of security integrated? So the second you think a bad thought, one of our neurological surveillance centers that are laid out in the 21st Century Cures Act. Oh, little Johnny, we've talked about that before. Think of bad thoughts. I'm going to send you a zap of 2 hertz, bing, instant sleep, Johnny. I don't see this as science fiction even 10 years from now. I'd be scared of this. I'd be very scared. I mean, the price point on these ELF emit headbands is right. $99 will absolutely get one of these into lots and lots of different Christmas stockings. I would even be interested for $99 to check it out, but I don't know. I don't know, guys. This is a creepy little ad. They show all these little brainwaves. This guy's wearing it at work. It's right around the back of his head. And select a desired mood to match the natural frequency of your mind. The ELF emits pulses. The ELF emits pulses from 2 to 19 megahertz to coax your desired brainwaves along. Nothing beyond the mind's natural rhythm. High frequency beta waves can be tuned for concentration and to focus. The quick pulses of ELF emits concentrate mood or multiply your ability to problem solve, to process information, to multitask, and to remain focused and alert. The beta wave this mood promotes is very fast. It's high frequency, low amplitude. Let's see what frequency this is. For concentration, 19 hertz frequencies that most people exhibit throughout the day in order to complete conscious tasks such as critical thinking. So we're going to give them access to our critical thinking frequency, and then put this little band on our head, and then hit a button that says, "I want to critically think." Beep. Now, let's see. That could not possibly be abused by a totalitarian type society, you wouldn't think, right? No. I mean, how insane. And they've found ways to actually stimulate this stuff. Remember, I said when they find chinks in the armor, yay, it's going to help you, Johnny. But yay, we also know how to take you down now, Johnny. So it'll help you complete conscious tasks such as critical thinking, writing, reading, and socialization. So don't screw up with that. Don't fry your brain. And these tend to have a stimulating effect. Having an appropriate level of beta waves allows us to focus and to complete school or work-based tasks easily. When you drink some caffeine or have another stimulant or a brain zap. I could see the commercial. Your beta activity will naturally increase. Starting frequency is 18 hertz and the duration of use is 100 and 20 minutes. All right, let's anti-stress out. So now the guy's sitting with it across the back of his head. He's leaning his head back in his executive leather chair in the office, so just pressed directly to his skull, nice and snug. His eyes are closed. He pushes the big red button on his cell phone. ELF admits anti-stress mood induces alpha brainwaves thick enough to calm you down, inducing a pleasurable state of mind. The frequency range bridges the gap between our conscious thinking and our subconscious mind, between the beta and the theta, and it helps us calm down when necessary and promote feelings of deep relaxation. If we become stressed, a phenomenon called alpha blocking may occur, which involves excessive beta activity and very little alpha. Essentially, the beta waves block out the production of alpha waves because we are too agitated, which is the state I've been in lately. It's short-circuiting my brain. Your starting frequency on this for relaxation is 10 hertz, and the duration of use is 40 minutes. We should see if we can go on YouTube and find some 10 hertz music entrainment. Put on some headphones. See if it works. The next one is for deep learning. Alpha waves for learning and retention. ELF emits deep learning mood, induces a state similar to the one we just achieved before we fall asleep or just after we wake up, increasing your ability to learn and retain knowledge by a huge degree. Inducing a state of learning at any time and increasing your ability to learn and retain knowledge up to 4 times. These waves are important for cognitive functioning, learning, memory, and information processing. And though processing for learning is most flexible when the mind is tuned from beta to an alpha state, this frequency starts at 8 hertz and the duration of use is 120 minutes. I mean, guys, are you hearing this? So somebody apparently has the tools to literally tune our brain like a radio dial. And as they're tuning our brain, they're putting us into different states of consciousness. And this isn't science fiction. This is a commercial device that is about ready to be released. I don't know, it said it was going to be released at the end of 2016. It doesn't say that these are for sale yet, though. You can still sign up, get an ELF emit, $99. They even released a bunch of colors. They're going to have Dayglow green, blue, purple. Can't see what that other one is. Maybe a yellow and a white. Can also get into meditation, sleeping. You plug it into your smartphone. How does it work? The smartphone app controls an electromagnetic coil that you put around the back of your head via a headphone jack. Our emotions and other external stimuli can cause our mental frequencies to shift, disrupting our ability to function as we might like. And I think this really kind of makes me start to spin when I read this, because I've always said, like, when there's too much noise in that and I'm trying to concentrate, it literally makes my brain feel like it's short-circuiting. And it really does short-circuit. I'm pretty sure of that. That's exactly what it is. It's like getting interference. And when there's too much interference, it disturbs my signals, just like in networking. If you have a bad cable or something, and that cable is damaged, or your clip on the end is damaged, you're going to get a lot of noise on the line. And when you get noise on the line on an IP network, data can't send because it's waiting until the second it hears quiet. All of the devices are waiting until it's quiet to send data. And if there's never any quiet, it can't send data. I really think our brains are very similar. It does not work as well if there's lots of interference. ELF emits, encourages his frequency to get back in line with the task at hand. We're going to have to undergo our nightly therapy as mandated by our 21st Century Cures Act of the future. Guys, I'm pretty frightened by this. All right, so let's move another step further. So an old friend of mine sent me some stuff I want to get to. But there was a story from Wired Magazine that I found last week. We've discussed this as well. This was from March 24, 2017. Again, topic, a topic we've been talking about for a long time, again with dopamine. This is the addiction and the addictability of our devices. Tech bigwigs do know how addictive their products are. But why don't the rest of us know? Well, if you listened to Before the First Cup, you'd know. But no, you're absolutely correct. Most of the world does not know how addictive these devices are. Most people do not realize that it manipulates the dopamine receptors in your brain. They give you that ding. They make you that little mousey in a maze running after that dangling carrot. And as you get another ding, you want another ding and another and another and another until you are addicted. Dopamine, and as an addiction chemical, is even stronger on children than it is on adults. And so as we are giving our children these devices, our children are turning into junkies. And we've covered, there's a story with that particular word in the title even, about how our digital devices are turning our children into psychotic junkies. There have been story after story now. Children having to go see psychiatrists and becoming violent, biting, and beating up their parents because they want their devices. I've had first-handed accounts with friends time after time who've told me about their kids. They don't even bother anymore. They just let the kids sit in the bedroom on the computer playing video games because it always turns into violence. People, this is the Trojan horse. Steve Jobs told the New York Times journalist Nick Bilton in late 2010 that his children had never used an iPad. He said, "We limit how much technology our kids use in the home." Bolton discovered that other tech giants impose similar restrictions on their children as well. Chris Anderson, the former editor of Wired magazine, enforced strict time limits on every device in his home, and I do as well. I mean, you can't say no, because they're not going to take no for an answer. You just can't. They need to be able to function. They need to know how to use a keyboard. They need to know what these devices are. There are tools, if used properly, that will not addict them, and you teach them to use the television and the computer as a tool to gain what they need for knowledge. But the entertainment part of it, I think, is where the problem is caused, just from my personal observations. But anyway, the editor of Wired enforced strict time limits on every device in his home because, quote, "We have seen the dangers of technology firsthand," he says, unquote. His five children were never allowed to use screens in their bedrooms. Neither mine, his mine. Evan Williams, no, it's got to be in the open. Evan Williams, the founder of Blogger, Twitter, and Medium, bought hundreds of books for his two sons, and that's what we do. We take back the bottles every few months to the local little bottle place, and then I give her that money to go to the used bookstore. So we have a huge, I don't know, I think it's a six. We added even a couple extra shelves to this bookcase. So I think there's six shelves just loaded with books. And I mean, these aren't, maybe in the beginning they were kids' books, but a lot of Dr. Seuss. We found all the hardcover Dr. Seuss and all the Curious Georges, like the original Curious Georges. Those were for when she was little. And now she's into like six book multi-sets. And this last report that she wrote for School Friday was all about Greek gods and stuff. So she's really starting to delve into, you know, the whys of the world and looking at different philosophies and religions and tying that to history. So it's really good. It's really good, actually. I'm proud of a 10-year-old who's writing papers on Greek gods and asking me philosophy questions over the weekend. That made me feel like chip off the old block. But see, that's what happens. And you know, there are reports her teacher is beside himself with these little 10-year-old piss pots We're juvenile delinquents who don't do their homework, who argue and steal and sabotage other teams' projects in class. You know, they had this project about building a roller coaster. That was this last week. They were doing these engineering. My daughter was the lead engineer. She's so proud of herself. They dubbed her lead engineer in her little group. And they were using, like, toilet paper tubes. You had to send stuff in, you know, any of your leftover recyclables. Where they cut them in half, and then they were using tape and angling them in a marble and whatever, you know. It was a poor man's roller coaster engineering lesson for kids. But it was a good lesson because they got it to work. But every day they would finish, and they'd put it off in the corner, and the kids all had it out along the windowsill. My daughter caught this little pisspot girl three different times going over there and intentionally, because my daughter's team was ahead, intentionally destroying their roller coaster and throwing it on the floor. You know, what, at 10, I told her, I said, you watch that girl, because there are going to be people like that in your life. Those are what was the movie? Pretty little evil bitches. I don't know what it was, but you know what I'm talking about. That movie with some of the 80s chicks, Pretty Little Demons, Pretty Little Something. But that's exactly what it's like as a teenage girl. You want to stay away from those people. They're toxic. Those are the people that, you know, need to be praised for their looks or for their clothes or for keeping up with the Joneses, who are jealous and nasty about everything, and they just turn around and try to hurt people because, you know what, their mommies and daddies raised them up as they're always perfect. Doesn't matter, little Susie, you didn't do well in school, that's okay, my precious, because you're perfect, and no one can tell me any differently. Those kids end up with a major narcissistic disorder. And even malignant narcissism, where they start lashing out and doing mean things to people just to get their jollies. So those are people you want to stay away from. But you know what? We used it as a lesson on interpersonal skills, who you want to be friends with and who you don't. And, you know, she's seeing some of now the interaction between the other children. She sees that a lot of the kids, the 10-year-old juvenile delinquents who don't do any of their homework and fail all their tests, those are the kids that spend all their free time doing what? Oh, playing Minecraft after school. How interesting is it that that all collates? Personality disorders, oppositional defiant disorders, and this addiction disorder, and the nastiness, and not being able to accomplish anything because what? Oh, you're addicted. Guys, it is so beyond evil that they've done this to our children. And we're talking, you know, two generations now. It's pathological at this point. And now we're looking at these tech barons. Yeah, they knew about it. They knew about it for a long time. The military knew about it as well. That's why they were doing brain research. That's why they were using flight simulators and drone bombing for the last 20 years to teach our youngins and how to become good soldiers, good drone pilots, good bombardiers. Evan Williams, founder of Blogger, Twitter, and Medium, bought hundreds of books for his two young sons, but refused to give them an iPad. And Leslie Gold, the founder of an analytics company, imposed a strict no screen time during the week rule on her kids. And we do no screen time at all. You know, unless, of course, a couple times, you know, we do a mommy camp out sometimes. If she's been really good, we would take like a Saturday evening, change the sheets, get a nice big fresh bed. I get my room downstairs. And we'll get out the tablet. And we'll spend an afternoon, evening. And we'll get in our jammies. We'll get all showered up. We'll get in our jammies. And we'll watch a movie. Maybe on the tablet, laying on my nice big clean bed, all snuggled under our blankies with the kitty cats all visiting. Or we'll go out to the App Store and we'll find some fun games like Hangman or Boggle was a good one, Scrabble we have. And we'll play competition between the two of us, word games. And that's fun too. But that is the extent of it. We don't go to gambling games. You know, Pictionary would be a good one. That was always fun. But we don't do that very often either, because she's got to be good to earn that. Anyway, this mother, this Leslie Gold, softened her stance only when they needed computers for schoolwork. And that is what I do as well. Sometimes they got to take state testing on there or whatever. But the author says, needless to say, this is unsettling. Why would the world's greatest public technocrats also be its greatest private technophobes? Well, it seems as if they were following the cardinal rule of drug dealing. Never get high on your own supply. I didn't know that, but it's true. Guys, I'm telling you, this is not a joke, okay? Our children, their brain waves and functions and features and addiction and chemicals are all being manipulated to points where we're not going to be able to get them back. They are being permanently disabled from being free-thinking individuals and turned into junkies. But there is a reason for that, because the eventual hope is to get us to all be wanting our wearables and then our implantables, and hopefully we get to this next story here. Many experts, both within and beyond the world of tech, have shared similar perspectives with me, and that is the author. Several video game designers told me that they avoided the notoriously addictive game of the World of Warcraft. An exercise addiction psychologist called fitness watches. Dangerous ding ding, the Fitbit. We've talked about that as well, and there's a couple stories coming up on that. Which is the dumbest thing in the world, and I told you that, because it gets you to use peer pressure. Oh, look, my friend did 30,000 steps. I gotta keep going. There is madness behind this. It isn't about keeping you healthy or keeping you safe, and it's gonna be forced on you. You wait and see. And I used to joke about someday they're gonna jack up your health insurance if you don't put on a Fitbit. Or they're going to deny you completely if you refuse to participate and give up a DNA swab. Well, ding, it's happened. These are boiling frog increments. And I know you guys think, Jill, you postulate. Oh, my one friend tells me, oh, you come up with all this stuff in the not-too-distant future. But that hasn't happened yet. Well, I have to say, after postulating here for almost 6 years now, anyone who's listened to the show, and I know you guys in the very beginning are like, whoa, she's a little crazy. But how many of you are here still listening? Because all those things that I said way back then that were, oh, a little crazy, guess what? They all happened. They all happened. It's not because I'm any type of swami. It's because I know technology. I used to be a strategist. I worked, you know, from the very bottom to the very top in technology. One of my jobs was projecting the future. That's what I did when my little division that I had there in the end, I projected the future. I was an evangelist for technologies and the ones that were in the not too distant future and in the ones in the 5, 10, 20 years down the line. That was my job. Well, I see it. Those timelines aren't hard to predict when you see where we are right now. It's not hard to see where we're headed. But anyway, the addiction psychologist is calling fitness watches dangerous and the dumbest thing in the world and swore that she would never buy one. And the founder of an internet addiction clinic, and I've talked about those also, they have them in China, told me that she avoids gadgets newer than 3 years old. And yeah, I think my cell phone was probably about 10 years old, the one I refused to get in the beginning till work forced me until the phone stopped dialing or doing anything. And now, I don't know, this smartphone is probably 5 to 7 years old and no new applications install because the operating system is so defunct. So I hate technology. I really do. Having been in it my whole life, it's suspicious. It always has been. And I'm not a, I want to be a Luddite, people. That's where I'm at. I'm back to becoming a Luddite. But anyway, this internet addiction woman has never used her phone's ringer, and that's weird, because I don't either. I have it on vibrate only, as silent as it possibly can be, because the ding is like the Pavlovian ding. That's what hits that dopamine button, ding, and then you can't resist it. You have to grab it and look. See, I ignore my phone. I ignore my messages. If I can't handle it, if I feel like I'm short-circuiting and I am so overwhelmed, the last thing in the world that you need to do is to muddy the waters anymore. And you cannot constantly jump around like that because it causes ADD-type symptoms. Okay? It really does. It messes with your brain chemistry and with your signaling. Anyway, she's never used her phone's ringer and deliberately misplaces her phone, so she isn't tempted to check her email. The author also spent 2 months trying to reach her by email and succeeded only when she happened to pick up her office landline. Facebook also is an endless feed. Netflix automatically moves on to the next episode in the series, and yeah, I've gotten caught into those a few times. And succeeded only... when you turn it off, Tinder encourages users to keep swiping in search of a better option. Users benefit from these apps and websites, but also struggle to use them in moderation. Yeah, like when you go to Amazon and they're endlessly recommending you things. According to Tristan Harris, a design ethicist, the problem isn't that people lack the willpower to keep using these devices. It is that, quote, there are thousands of people on the other side of the screen whose job it is to break down your self-regulation. Ding, ding, ding. Now, that is something else that I have discovered is a part of pushing that dopamine button. And any children that seem to have become addicted have the same problem. And that is the problem of impulse control. And I think that that's where the aggression comes from. I think that's where the risky behavior comes from. When you start looking at psychopaths and the psychopathic personality disorder that has some of the same features of an overdeveloped dopamine receptor area in the brain, as they've seen in children addicted to video games, that's what it's about. The lack of impulse control. The lack of being able to rein yourself in and say no. The lack of being addicted. The lack of wanting to smoke. To tell yourself, no, put that down. You don't need one right now, Jewel. Even though you want one, you don't need one. The ability, high fructose corn syrup. It's also one of those things that hijacks that dopamine area of the brain and causes you to gorge. That's why we have a lot of this Western health debacle going on right now. High fructose corn syrup made with genetically modified corn that screws us up left, right, and sideways, screwing up your gut bacteria and everything else. But it's also part of that dopamine button. High fructose corn syrup, cocaine, sex, gambling, video games all cause the same sort of pleasure and chemical reaction in the brain. Well, these people that are making these games are trying to break that. You're trying to teach it to your kid. They're trying to break that in your kid. These tech experts that we've talked to above have a good reason to be concerned. Working at the far edge of possibility, they discovered two things. First, that our understanding of addiction is too narrow. Hopefully this guy at Wired read all the stuff that I put together over the last few years on dopamine and these devices and the dark side. Because there wasn't too much out there for a while. And I only fell upon this because I was seeing marked changes in my child, even when she got in front of the TV. That was even before the devices. But there's definitely something that goes on in their brain, and that's what caused me to dig deeper. But anyway, they discovered two things. First, that our understanding of addiction is too narrow. We tend to think of addiction as something inherent in certain people, and we label those people as addicts. Heroin addicts, chain-smoking nicotine addicts, pill-popping prescription drug addicts. And this label implies that they're different from the rest of humanity. But that is not true. In truth, addiction is produced largely by your environment and your circumstances. And Steve Jobs knew this. He kept the iPad from his children because for all of the advantages that made them unlikely substance addicts, he knew that they were susceptible to the iPad's charms. Those entrepreneurs recognized that the tools that they promote, engineered to be irresistible, will ensnare users indiscriminately. And this isn't a bright line between addicts and the rest of us. We are all one product or experience away from developing our own addictions. And in those addictions, you become enslaved to whatever addicts you. And then it makes you a victim to whoever wants to exploit you. The environment and circumstance of the digital age are far more conducive to addiction than anything humans have ever experienced in our history. In the 1960s, we swam through waters with only a few hooks, cigarettes, alcohol, drugs that were expensive and generally inaccessible. And in the 2010s, the same waters were littered with hooks. And there's a Facebook hook, an Instagram hook, a porn hook. Oh, yeah, porn, too. The email hook, the online shopping hook, and so on and so on. And the list is long, far longer than it's ever been in human history. And now we're only just learning the power of these hooks, but I bet you DARPA knew all about them. Like on Facebook and Instagram strikes one of those notes, as does the reward of completing a World of Warcraft mission, seeing one of your tweets shared by 100 Twitter users. Will do it as well, and the people who create and refine technology, games, and interactive experiences are very good at what they do. And think about this, as we now bring in VR and AR, virtual reality and augmented reality, we bring it closer to your head, we put it in front of your eyes, we put on little EOF emits to start changing our brain frequency levels. Guys, this is the full suction into the machine. You are gonna spend me, and I will put the
listening to UCY.TV.